Good morning. It's a good morning here and worshiping with you, and as well, everybody have a great welcome. I see that some family members are in for the Thanksgiving break, and it's good to meet the rest of the family that as well, and it's good, and you're welcome here always, and it's good to see the extended families that, you know, you're used to seeing your regular members, but then for you, you know, you wondered, you know, when other people come, you know, guests and stuff, you don't know that they're, you know, somehow related or visiting, but it is good to see them, and it's good to have you here. It's great, especially on this Lord's Day, and it's always good to be with brothers and sisters of like-minded as well, to worship and to do what we are told to do by God. It's always important as well. Again, as Brother Dave was saying, yes, it is a little bit tough to be up here. I mean, sometimes we were told in school, or when I was in preaching school, we were told that, you know, if you don't feel nervous, there's something wrong with you. So even though, you know, that came from people, you know, from brethren that, you know, been preaching for a while. So, yeah, so that was, it's always good. And again, it's always good to encourage our young. That's how, you know, that's how I was encouraged to, you know, start in reading Bible verses and, you know, singing, and, you know, it gives you out of your element. But it's always good to understand that. And as Christians, that's our main goal, to help others, you know, fortify their faith, fortify, especially in, you know, times that we live that are, you know, rough times, and times that we are, you know, that we face things. It's always good to have that great foundation, and that we know that we have people that care for you as well. And, you know, don't feel afraid. We're here for you, and we're here to help you as well. And, you know, it's always good to see our youth at in that aspect as well. With that in mind, I want us to think. You know, we have heard the story, you know, all the time about Noah. We have seen the characters, you know, and, you know, going through, and when we growing up, I mean, I've heard about Noah, Moses, and, you know, the characters that we see. But there's some importance that that comes in, you know, with us that help us keep us in touch with it. You know, even though it's an Old Testament story, even though it's an Old Testament you know, story that is told, but it has a quite a relevance for us. It has an importance in our lives as well. If you would, if you haven't turned, I'll invite you to go to Matthew chapter 24. Verses 37 through 39, we'll be there in a couple minutes. Verses 37 and 39. Again, you know, sometimes here in a couple weeks ago, we were in the youth class. We were going through the Bible and as characters. We came up to talking about Noah. And one of the things that's struck me when I was reading, you know, we'll be there in a couple minutes as well. In chapter 6, it tells us about the way that the world was at that point, the characteristics of that the world at that point in time, how it was. And what I'm trying to do, or what I'm trying to make us look and observe, is that there is no difference in it. You know, we're living in the same struggle as Noah had, you know, in this world. And with this, I'm not, you know, trying to put fear or something. But I just want you to understand the fact that, you know, that here we come and worship together. We feel safe, and you know, we're with like-minded people to come and worship. But whenever we are exposed out in the real world or deal with other people, sometimes, you know, there's a struggle, and then there's no change. I mean, if we're familiar, let us look at the verse real quick. Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood, came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man will be. One interesting characteristic that we can see in Bible, when we study the Bible, is when something is mentioned, Old Testament and New Testament, it has some relevancy or some importance. Here we see Jesus that compares this, the days of Noah, to the last days. In the context here, you know, Jesus is talking about the coming of you know, the coming of the Lord, the coming of, you know, how it was going to be in that context. But then he pulls out this interesting wording and says, like in the days of Noah. But what in the days of Noah was so relevant about? We see the again here Jesus talking about the return of Christ, you know, that will come upon men suddenly, unexpectedly, you know, like the great flood of Noah, you know, like the great flood there. Not only this, but the Lord compared the character of those days that of man at the time of his return. So basically, you know, we don't know when the Lord will be coming. We don't know when the Lord will come. Nobody knows, only him. And we need to understand, or basically, you know, what is telling it, that verse in context is, you know, to be prepared. Peter as well addressed this and called the days of Noah the long suffering of the Lord, 1 Peter 3:20, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. We see that the description there, Peter tries to give us a description there, is that it was the wicked time before the flood, as in the time with long-suffering of God or waiting, right? There's no difference into this time. The days of Noah, in reality, were a time of salvation, right? A times of delivering and mercy, right? Because as we will see here in a little bit, we'll see what is that time. So question is, what times are we looking at in the days of Noah? Well, there is no quite too different in the timing, right? There is no difference in what time we live now. Let us look at we see that in those times that they were evil days, as Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 tells us, or reminds us of, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So, you know, as Christians, you know, we need to know and understand that we need to do things and according to the will of the Lord, because, you know, days are evil. We see in that aspect that marriage was abused. We see in the time of Noah, marriage was abused. If you turn to Genesis chapter 6, we'll stay there. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 2, the Bible tells us that the Son of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves. of all who they chose. So basically, there was a sort of like marriage being abused, you know, doing it at the, conforming to what their time there. And then again, when it says the sons of God, it's not talking, I mean, it's talking about people that respected God, that followed God as well. But we see that this, you know, intermixing with ungodly people here. That's what the text is. The implication is the marriage was based on lust, on beauty, and passionately, you know, crazy, passionate and lust over, you know, over people. So we see that that's the implication in that verse, that marriage was abused. It was a polygamous, as we can read. And part of the, you know, the Old Testament always mentions about man having multiple wives. I don't know why the reason God allowed that. I don't know specifically. We don't have the answer to that. I mean, that would be a great question to ask whenever we get to heaven. And, you know, he probably can give us an insight. But we are told that, you know, they're polygamous in Genesis chapter 4, verse 23, when Lamech talking about his wives, right, talking about he had two wives there. Again, marriage was abused. We see as well that the evil days were as wicked, the wicked rule, right? It was just the wicked rule over it. Again, Genesis chapter 4, Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. We see that, again, there's a mention of there were giants on the earth in these days, and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. Those were of mighty men and were all men of renown. Again, the implication there is, you know, that the mighty warriors are sort of, and then again, if you see previous chapters there, before Genesis chapter 6, we see a whole list of descendants and it lists the people there that lived at that time. And we see the intermingling of, you know, as well of different people not fearing God, not God-fearing people intermingling together there. That's what it's telling us here. So the wicked rule, it was basically done. Society was ruled by wicked people. Mighty men, warriors, renowned and infamous people. Violence prevailed. We see in the times of Noah, again, violence prevailed. Genesis, again, chapter 6, verse 4. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled of violence. So there's no more fearing of it. Murder was prevalent. Genesis chapter 4, verses 10, verse 10 and verses 24. Man has lost the respect of God, you know, because at this point, you know, God created us in his image, right? In the image of God. Man had lost that respect, right, for God's image in man. There was no, you know, standards at this point. Man was corrupt. We see that in Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their ways on the earth. So basically, complete forgiveness of God, complete disrespect or disregard to God. Evil man grew worse, worse, and worse. As, you know, 2 Timothy verse 3:13 tells us, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is how it works, right? Deceiving themselves, thinking that they're okay in their situation, and then making believe themselves of that lie, and making sure that, you know, that lie for them is, that's, this is my standard of living. This is what I'm supposed to be living like, you know, and nobody can tell me otherwise. No rule. Like, you know, we have the Bible that tells us how we're supposed to live. it had come become the world of the ungodly. At 2 Peter 2, verse 5, and did not spare. Again, this is mention of Noah here, and did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness and bringing the flood onto the world for the ungodly. Again, we see the condition of the earth there, the condition of that time, in the times of Noah as well. God was grieved. God was repentant that he had created man to this point, that how man was behaving towards him. And really, he was in Genesis 6:6, gives us that. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man in the earth, and he was grieved to his heart. So we see the condition. So we are created in God's image. We are created in his image. And then God sees that. We see the nature of God, that, you know, I created this being to worship me, to have a extended relationship with me, to have a good standing with me. But then he repented of that because he see how worse it was getting in the times of Noah, how worse the condition was. So we saw that marriage was abused, the wicked rule, violence prevailed, man was again corrupt, complete corruption of that. It was complete. They were evil days. They were complete completely out of line. No rule of law here. Secondly, we can see that there were dark days, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through chapter 3, verse 1 tells us, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. In the last days, perilous time will come. And then we know sometimes that is the truth, that, sometimes we have difficult times. Sometimes we will not be able to exercise of our freedom of religion, right? Whenever society starts to decay, you lose those rights. There's countries in the world out there that you cannot even stand and preach and even have this ability to stand and share the word of God freely, because they're under scrutiny of the government, right? Wanting to know what you're talking about, or not wanting what the Bible is saying. So, you know, there's other people struggling. We are blessed, again, that we live in this country, that our rights are always upheld, and that, you know, that we are capable, and God, you know, has given us that opportunity to come and worship freely. So never have it for granted, the ability that we have to worship as well. So we will have perilous times. With that, and the same thought there, 2 Timothy 3, chapter 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, there's people that would completely corrupt what the Bible says, completely fabricate lies about the Bible, or completely try to eliminate the Bible credibility. But we understand that, you know, that's how they grow. I mean, and in the time of Noah, that was the condition there. You know, they thought they knew better than God. They thought that they know more than God, and that this is my standard again. We see that under that point as well, we see that it was a time of apostasy, going against the flow of what people, instead of what God wanted to do. Apostasy is whenever I decide to, basically, I'm a Christian follower of Christ and, you know, church member, and I decide to completely leave that and go to a complete the religion or a complete thought of faith, or a complete, you know, belief of faith. That's what the apostasy there. So we see that the relationship with God was basically ruined at that point. In Genesis again, chapter 6, we see that the sons of man were marrying daughters of men, basically people that were God-fearing. Now they were intermingling with people, non-believing people, people that really did not have the fear of God, that didn't care about life and about what God, the rule of God was. Again, this is not referring, when it's saying the sons of God, is not referring to angels, okay? It is not referring to angels because, again, this specifies to us in Matthew 22, verse 30, that, in the verse tells us that in the resurrection, they neither married or are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. This is not referring to that. This is telling that, angels cannot, some other people or some things that I was reading, really, it's craziness of what these, sometimes these callers will come up with. But, thank God that we have the Bible and tells you and directs you the right way. So, some people were saying, oh, these were angels and things like that. But now there's no such thing, basically was people that believers, intermingling with non-believers, and then the influences were, being detached. So there were dark days as well. The word was rejected, right? There's nothing new there. The word was rejected. In Genesis 6:3, there we can see that as well. Noah preached righteousness. Okay, 2 Peter 5:2-5 tells us, and did not spare the aging world, but hath none, Noah, one of the eight, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world for the ungodly. So, here's Noah preaching, all this time, trying to convert people, trying to make people understand the importance of having that relationship with God and being righteous with God as well. You see the word rejected. Men were disobedient. Man was had their own standards. Again, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Disobedient, to God, the idea there. They continue with their ungodliness. Again, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Sin was abundant. We know that sin was prevalent in the times of Noah. Sin was abundant. Genesis chapter 6, we see that. Chapter 6, verse 5. That whole chapter gives us the glimpse of what was going on and that. The wickedness prevailed. Wickedness, wicked people, it prevailed and it extended to all that were lost as well. They were, there were only a few that were righteous or had the good morals. According to Genesis 7, verse 1, and in verse 7 as well, that then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, and you all, in your whole household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Verse 7, so Noah with his sons and his wife and his son's wife went into the ark because of the waters of the flood as well. So we see that there's only eight souls that were saved at that occasion. There was only one righteous family as well. We see the appointed the sense of destruction there as well in Genesis 17. And behold, I myself bringing the flood waters of the earth to destroy from under the heavens all flesh, which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. So, again, the long-suffering awaiting from God, he was already, again, we saw that earlier that he was repented of creating man, and then the coming and appointing destruction of it. God purposed to destroy man in judgment for their sins. We see that. The consequences of not listening to God and not living the godly life that he had set forth. Again, we see a little glimpse of how with Noah, we see how plan of salvation is to be put in place there as well. You know, this is a glimpse of the master plan. The master plan is the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, right? We can see that a little bit into that. And once you read the text and look into it, we see that, God's way of, saving the righteous and creating this great plan of salvation for him. Thirdly, we can see that they were evil. There were trying times. There were trying times. 2 Peter 2, verses 5 and 9. And did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. So sometimes we see, as Christians, we have trying times. Sometimes we think that we're losing the battle. Nobody's getting in my bandwagon here. Nobody's, listening to me. Nobody really cares what I'm saying or what the words that I'm saying. But we see, even in the times of Noah, there's only eight souls, right, that were going to pay attention and do what God wanted to do. So sometimes it's trying for us as well. And the Lord has ways to deliver, the godly out of temptation from the ungodly. We see that people were indifferent. People were indifferent there. Matthew 24:39, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. And also will come the coming of the Son of Man be. So, basically, we need to understand that we have an awareness of being prepared when the Lord comes. We don't know when is that day. We don't have a day specifically. And again, we see that they did not know. They did not know. I mean, they just, basically left their guard down. They did not know because they were interested in other things, right? They did not know because their life was based on something else, something more important in their lives, and not really focusing on the main thing, which is God's relationship with them. Luke 21, verses 34 and 36 tells us that as well. We got to understand that we need to, have our priorities in mind, or have the priorities that God wants us to have in our lives as well. We see that the work was difficult. Can you imagine, what that picture we see? Can you imagine every day, eight people just working there? Can you imagine Noah in the ark with only four men there? His whole crew building this massive ship. Noah had to gather the material. Noah had to, build the ark and acquired, food and supplies. So basically, he was the we would call today the crew chief or the main guy. Can you imagine, every day working that task? We're only four people. In all this, we see that Noah was diligent as well, right? Difficult was work. The work was difficult, but Noah was diligent as well. Noah did what he was supposed to, according to Genesis 6:22. And again, it's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 there. The result was discouraging. Can you imagine, preaching, telling people, there is an incoming punishment if you don't, make yourself righteous, or if you don't repent of the sins? Can you imagine the results of that? It's discouraging, right? Sometimes, as preachers, sometimes as members, it's discouraging, when you try to tell people and to do things to people, and especially people that you love and people that you care for, and they just put block that. They don't want nothing to do with that. But can you imagine that? Noah, having a bunch of group of people making fun of him, and he's trying to build this ark here, and preaching to them and telling them about the day is coming that, you know, it's going to be a great flood. And people are like, this man's crazy. It hasn't even rained here. It's been dry here. We don't know what rain is, basically. That's what the text tells us. But, you know, making fun of it, it's frustrating. You know, sometimes you get in your point in life sometimes as a Christian that there's some frustration, you know, when you work with people. You know, we're always going to be frustrated when we work with people all the time. And it's no difference in the church as well. Sometimes there'll be a frustration level that, people don't like to do the work of God that is intended to, you know, to do the work of God and to follow the work of God. So that was discouraging. In Noah's days, that would have been so discouraging in Noah's day as well, as has been specified. And we see that the reality was sad as well. The reality was sad. Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 14 and 20 tells us, verse 14, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver themselves by their righteousness. So we see that, Noah doing the right, doing what it was right in the sight of the Lord as well. Even though, verse 20 in Ezekiel chapter 14, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they would deliver neither son nor daughters. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. Again, here alluding to the fact of not even Noah could save all this millions of people that were, that were not repenting of their sins, right? This is that's what the verse is alluding. They cannot only save themselves because, again, he was righteous in the sight. They can only save themselves. You know, sometimes I cannot save my family member, you know, or try to do that. I mean, yes, I can preach to them, but it's on them to kind of take the actions necessary for them to obey the gospel and to have this relationship with the Lord. Noah could not repent for the world, right? Noah could not do nothing in those days as well. And we see that the outcome was horrifying. According to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared the ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Again, implying that, you know, you condemn the world because you're trying to do what God wants you to do. You want to be righteous there. And we see the outcome in Noah's day that wasn't good, right? Whenever that ark, the door of the ark closed, it wasn't a great scene, right, to be told there. Noah condemned the world because of following what God tells him to do. Noah condemned the world because of the result of him of his preaching left them with no excuse. See, Noah preached to them. Noah let them know about the punishment that was coming, the imminent punishment that would come into those times. We see that in our life as well, right? Whenever we preach to somebody, we need to make them, you know, we make them aware of the condition. We make them aware of what the gospel is telling them, you know. And then people sometimes, and this is one of the greatest passage, I think, that gives us the information of how the Lord is, or what Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Meaning that I can see the blessings that God has done to me. I can see his creation. I can see all around me the beauty that God had created me. You know, and then it still, again, have I don't have no excuse of what, of, you know, me accepting and being righteous in the sight of the Lord, me accepting the gospel and repenting of my sins and trying to live the godly life. Again, the reality was to the unrepenting men would perish and did not, again, 1 Peter 2:5, did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah and eight people, a preacher of righteousness, the one that, you know, wanted to live according to what God brings. The flood, bringing in the flood onto the world, unto the ungodly. So in the days of Noah, the idea here, the main point of this is that we need to realize that it's no difference the way we're living, the way life is now to the way life is in it was in Noah's time. The main idea here is that, you know, we see the struggles that we have. So the question is, our days are as the days of Noah were, right? According to what Matthew 24, 36, and 39 tells us, you know, even Jesus made sure to mention to them, in I'm assuming here, and that, you know, they knew about this. They knew, or there was a record about, you know, what Noah did, about what Noah had done back in those times, that they knew, that Jesus wanted them to be clear about, you know, being prepared and what is to come, and the repentance that they needed to do as well. So the other question is, so what will be my attitude as Christians? I'm just going to see it you know, another story in the Bible. I'm not going to just see it as another element that is being pointed in my life as a Christian, or am I going to see the comparison that it is that in life that, you know, that there is no difference. We're all a human, and, you know, and mankind is tend to sin and needs the help of God, right? But the question is, what would be my attitude towards that? How I'm going to look at it? How I'm going to go about it into helping me have this good relationship with God and to be righteous in the sight of Him as well? It is important for Christians. It just gives me the vivid idea of how, from the beginning, because if you can see, just a couple of chapters later, I mean, you got the creation, you got Adam and Eve, and then you come all this, the descendants and all this, what was going on, and then you got that stopping point of, you know, the whole society, the whole world was, you know, ready to, you know, they wanted nothing to do with God. The corruption was big. So there's no difference, you know, in the times that we live, right? In the times of Noah, there's the same times as us. And with this, I'm not trying to be, you know, being crazy about, like, yeah, be prepared, you know, be, you know, live in this state of fear or something. No. All I'm trying to say is, you know, as a Christian, we need to understand the fact that there is importance in my life, that God has put me here to basically have a good relationship with Him and be righteous in His sight, and that to prioritize the things that He wants me to have, the good relationship with Him, and to be prepared. Because we don't know when Christ is coming back. We don't know that, right? We don't have the answer. The angels don't even have the answer as well. But we need to understand that it is important. I mean, we live in times that are difficult, and we live in times that we need to encourage each other, that we need to help each other in our Christian walk. You know, we cannot just be in our own little realm here, little world that we live in, and thinking that, you know, oh, I'm okay. I know how to deal with my situations. I know how to deal with what's coming, or I know how to deal with every problem. No, brothers and sisters, it is important that I rely on my other brothers and sisters, because they help me, and they're going to help me get to heaven with the struggles. There'll be days sometimes that we're down. There'll be days that we all going to be struggling with something, but it's important to rely on them as well. But again, it is important for us to take into consideration the days of Noah as well. If you're here and you haven't become a Christian, it's important for you to understand that. It is important for you that God has created a way for us to be righteous in his sight, and that is Jesus Christ, that he came and that he died for me and you, and that he gives me that ability as a Christian to come to God and to have that relationship and those benefits as well. If you're a Christian and you're struggling with something, make your need be known as well. And let us know if you need the prayers of the church. We're here for you. We're here to help you in any way, in any shape or form as well, as you make your need known. Let us stand as we sing our